that guitar coming through there? No? It'll be coming. It'll be coming. How many people are out there on all the other avenues that the police aren't letting in, I wonder? Where's that guitar? Let's see here. We could do an a cappella song, but... Getting another direct input box. It's very high technology, you know. We have to... How about the song? Do you want to say something about the song? I don't know. What should I say about it? I don't know. They always have an enemy. They always have an excuse to dominate the world. They always come up with enemies, but they're lying. Say that it's about the savages. You can say you have a better way to live. You can call it manifest destiny. You can talk of all our civilization will give. You can say that we're a thing of history and progress is the future you will bring. You can send your armies to these mountains. You can say we'll prosper beneath your king. There will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose. Because our future is not yours to choose. You can say you've got to stop the communists. You can say that our ideals can't succeed. You can say that competition is the only way, and a global system based on greed. You can call yourself a Democrat. You can call yourself whatever you will. You can keep on stamping out the fires you start, so you might stay on top of the hill. There will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose. Because our future is not yours to choose. Say that all of us are terrorists, madmen bent on destroying all that's free. You can say that we are building weapons as your bombers fly from sea to bloody sea. You can say you're with us or against us, and to die quietly is what we now must do. You can maintain your innocence. You can say that you are many as you represent the few. But there will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose. Because our future is not yours to choose.
It has been said that the youth shall lead us. The youth have led us in Soweto, in Mississippi, here in New York, and I have to introduce to you now Zara Khan, president of the Undergraduate Student Government of Hunter College, City University of New York, and a member of SLAM, the Student Liberation Action Movement. Listen to Zara Khan, who will lead us.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My dear sisters and brothers, take a moment to actually feel the collective hope and might of hundreds of thousands of people. Take another moment to inhale the solidarity of millions of people around the world conscientiously objecting to this war. Now exhale and know this. After this moment, there can be no rest. War has been waged and weapons engaged against entire states, entire communities, and public institutions like those of higher education. And so now, it is up to each nation, each immigrant and citizen, each student to defend herself and her neighbor. New York City public schools and colleges are already deplete in resources, so New York's Governor Pataki has asked the students of CUNY to reach into their empty pockets and pull out an extra $1,200 to cover tuition increases. He would also like to cut $82 million from CUNY, $82 million from the New York City Board of Ed, and $161 million from the Tuition Assistance Program. But CUNY students of conscience reject this war. We reject its budget and we reject its repercussions. We want to learn. We do not want to go kill our sisters and brothers in Iraq. We choose books over bombs. And I would be remiss if I left here without telling you that Monday last week, students at Hunter College took over the president's office and we did not leave. We did not leave. We call on all students to make demands of their presidents and principals. So people of conscience everywhere, pump those fists up in the air. Loudly, proudly do declare that we will not forsake the people of Iraq and we will not give up our right to an education. Thank you.
Amen. I'm going to bring up someone who can talk about the real deal. I'm going to bring forward Jaime Velasquez. He is a member of Veterans for Peace. He's a combat wounded Vietnam veteran and a recipient of the Purple Heart. Jaime Velasquez.
We are Veterans for Peace. We are veterans against the Iraq War. We are the Vietnam Veterans of America. We are the Veterans for Common Sense. And we are the Military Family Speak Out. We are here to act as the conscience of the nation. We support our men and women in uniform, and we are here to remind our government, our people, and the nation of the covenant between us to defend the Constitution, to protect the American people, to respect the sanctity of life, and not to place the lives of our military in harm's way for frivolous political, corporate, or other interests that are not in the best interest of the American people. 35 years ago, we fought a war in which our government lied to the people, and 60,000 men and women died. Today, we have a moral obligation to those veterans who gave their lives to ensure that this never occurs again. True patriotism is not standing in lockstep with your government. True patriotism is the love of country so strong that you will disagree with your government when you believe it is wrong, as did Thomas Paine, Paul Revere, Patrick Henry, Betsy Ross, and the rest of the founding fathers.
George Bush,
not John Ashcroft. You are the real patriots. Keep up the struggle. Keep up the fight. Peace.
Testing.
I am so proud to look down this street in this city that I grew up in and see all these people who are very clear and understand that they have the power to turn this mother around. You have the power to stop this war. You have the power to remove Mayor Giuliani and all the other mayors that are here to try to keep workers from having their just. You have the power to remove Bloomberg, and you have the power to remove that fraudulent president Bush.
You are listening to the World Says No to War protest in New York City. The estimates, well, I don't even know if it's worth talking about numbers. I'm Amy Goodman here with Verna Avery Brown and Robert Knight. And this is the last few minutes of our broadcast. 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time will end it. But the numbers we have at this point, the police have said 500,000. People are saying there are clearly more than a million people because we are just looking down one road, First Avenue, up from the United Nations, dozens of blocks, but people on Second Avenue and Third Avenue have not even been able to join the mass demonstration on First Avenue as they were met in some cases by mounted police. We saw some of those officers on horseback, though the people, it did seem, took the streets and succeeded simply because of their sheer numbers. Verna and Robert and I are now joined by Phyllis Bennis, who is with the Institute for Policy Studies, and she spoke today several times. But the latest, this important news about the resolution, Phyllis.
It's an extraordinary development, Amy. This afternoon, about 2 hours ago, at the United Nations, the Associated Press ran a story that began, "Stung by the international anti-war sentiment." What an amazing lead for anyone who might have thought that protest doesn't matter. This is the Associated Press. This is not Free Speech TV and Democracy Now! And Pacifica Radio. Associated Press went on to say, "Stung by the international outpouring of anti-war sentiment, the U.S. and U.K. on Saturday," that's today, "began redrafting their proposed new resolution at the United Nations referring to using force against Saddam Hussein. Diplomats speaking on condition of anonymity said that the final resolution will be softer and will not speak explicitly of the use of force." It's an extraordinary development. Whether or not it turns out to be precisely true, the fact that AP believes that it is feasible and realistic at this moment to put it out as the demonstrations are still going on around the world is an amazing tribute to the power of this kind of mobilization on a global scale of the world saying no to war.
Mm-hmm. So, Phyllis, when they say softer language, translate, what does that actually mean in diplomatic terms? Is this something significant that we can look forward to? It's hard to imagine that the Bush administration is actually going to turn back its agenda or even backpedal for any degree.
It's very hard to know exactly what it means. It may be nothing more than switching from something that says the use of force to something that says all means necessary. It could mean significantly more than that. Clearly, right now, Tony Blair is under extraordinary pressure. He is completely isolated in his own party and nationally. There were 2 million people protesting in the streets of London today. The Germans and the French are standing firm in their demand that there be no second resolution authorizing force. It's not easy to know. There are already 150,000 U.S. troops in the region. Withdrawing them is a huge problem politically for the Bush administration. On the other hand, it's becoming clear that they face a great problem if they use those troops. So we won't know exactly exactly what it means. Softer language could mean standing down from the claim that the only way to interpret the word severe consequences is through the use of force. That's a U.S. assertion, which other countries do not accept. It may be that the U.S. is finally coming into line with international opinion.
We're also joined by Bob Wing, who is one of the organizers in the United for Peace and Justice Coalition, also known as the editor of War Times, which is a regular publication that is coming out during this period. The plans now for United for Peace and Justice, Bob.
Well, the plans are all that more important after the last 2 days. The Bush administration got walloped 2 days in a row here, and I think the key point, whatever the details of what the administration is doing, is that they have been rocked. Anybody who thinks these things don't count, now we have a chance to really go after them even more. People should be ready to take this as a victory and move on from here. Right now, for United for Peace and Justice and the associated groups, we have three things kind of in the making. And I should say off the top, since people probably aren't sitting there with pen and paper, you can always go to the unitedforpeace.org website, and all this information and much more is there. First, coming up on February 25th and 26th are 2 days of congressional lobbying. Second, on March 5th is a national student strike and moratorium day. That's March 5th. And third, there's a Women's Day of Action in Washington, D.C. and around the country on International Women's Day, March 8th. So those are what we have coming up, and many more will be ongoing protests. And one of the most important things is to really solidify and develop these coalitions so they can advance into the future.
Phyllis Bennis, you were at the United Nations yesterday. We're talking about mass protests all over the world right now, and we heard from Melbourne, we heard from London, we heard from Barcelona, we heard from France, we heard from Arundhati Roy in India, we heard from the streets of Baghdad, and there are protests in more than 600 cities around the world. Inside the United Nations, and we're not used to hearing this inside, can you describe what it was like in the Security Council and how different it was from other days?
It was an extraordinary moment, Amy. Just as these demonstrations, the first of them, were getting started in Australia 24 hours earlier than we were, in the Security Council, when the French foreign minister gave an extraordinary speech in which he said the United Nations must be an instrument of peace, not a tool for war, the chamber, the Security Council chamber, filled with diplomats, erupted in applause that became a standing ovation that went on for almost half a minute. It's absolutely unprecedented in the history of the United Nations. The Security Council is always very formal, very staid. You never hear anything unscripted there. All of a sudden, these guys and these women were on their feet cheering the French ambassador. The same thing happened with the Russian ambassador. Powell spoke, threw away his notes, tried to go, you know, to respond extemporaneously, didn't make it, was greeted with stony silence.
There were moments of lesser compensatory rhetoric when the British foreign minister stated, well, as a representative of a nation that was founded in 1066 by France, and then, as you say, Colin Powell then tried to improvise. His rhythm was a bit off because he said, as a relatively young nation, but the oldest democracy represented here. So there was an attempt to compensate or make up for the striking presentation made by the French diplomat. But did it sell to the diplomats inside the room afterwards? Did they buy it?
They absolutely did not buy it. There was stony silence that greeted Powell's speech. And afterwards, when Powell spoke to diplomats, the first question was, how did you feel about the applause that erupted for the French and the Russians? And he said, well, my good friend, Mr. Villepin, made a very interesting speech, and I'm sure we're all going to go back to our capitals and talk about it. So he refused to acknowledge, but it was very clear from his body language, from the tension in his face and in his voice, that he was very freaked out at that. The only country that spoke, because even the British pulled back their punches on this one, the only country that spoke in defense of the Bush war plan was Spain. And today in Spain, we heard from Barcelona, but in 65 other cities of Spain, there were protests today. 66 cities in Spain alone.
Phyllis, France also asked for a one-month extension, a March 14th extension. What is, are they really trying to just buy more time, or what do you think is the plan there?
This wasn't really an extension, Verna. The French are taking the position that right now sanctions are in effect, And if anybody wants to change that, they have to do an affirmative move to change it. That until it changes, sanctions are in effect, and according to earlier resolutions, the next report should be 30 days after the last report, which would make it March 14th. They're trying to treat it as this is a system that's working, and we should continue it. Inspections work.
Phyllis Bennis and Bob Wing, I want to thank you very much for being with us. We're going to go now to Leslie Kagan, who is the coordinator of this United for Peace and Justice march, and she is now on the stage.
Bring up the welfare poets. They make music to uplift people, oppressed people all over the world. They know how to bring together culture and revolutionary politics. I'm going to bring forward the group members, Ray Ramirez, Hector Rivera, Angel Rodriguez, Debril Torre, Ahu Ali, Ala, Jorge Vasquez, and Elliot.
1, 2, 1, 2. Do you feel people's power here today, people? 1, 2. I feel people's power.
Si.
Everyone around the world, millions around the world, know what this war is about. It's about money and resources, the interest of only a few. And we here, the huérfanos of the world, are uniting. And if we have to, which we more than likely will have to, we got to shut down the streets like we did today, don't we? They used as a justification for this war the fact that they use for justification a lie that Saddam is using chemical warfare on his own people. But we know the United States does the same thing, whether it's the Dena Nation, whether it's the people in Vieques. Even in 1985, Philadelphia police and FBI dropped a bomb on the MOVE organization. 65 families, houses burned down. Mumia wrote a story about it and got a death sentence in turn. So there's a war going on here, a war going on right here in our blocks, whether it's the racial profiling that we deal with.
Yeah, they talk about high alert. I've been on high alert all my life in the South Bronx.
Who's here?
You know what I'm saying? I say no more, you say war. No more. No more! No more! No more!
Yes, yes. Yeah, the first poem that we're gonna do is called The Media.
This is for the media!
Yes, 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 yes.
Hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. Hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. What? Hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. What? Hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. It's the media causing mass hysteria in all areas. They're all carriers of false information. All barriers to true emancipation. It's scarier when you're aware how they're connected to corporations. It's the media causing mass hysteria in all areas. All carriers of false information. All barriers to true emancipation. It's scarier when you're aware how they're connected to corporations. Turn up your TVs and don't believe their news. Don't read their views, they'll keep you confused. Forget how to tie shoes. Talking about pulling yourself while you're used bootstrap. Now who's strapped? Who's strapped? Somehow accused and trapped. People in Vieques abused because they're brown and black. Just like down in Afghanistan and in Iraq. It's a part of their plan, a world domination. Control the land, its resources, and staff corporations. So if there wasn't oil in the Middle East, would there be a reason for war, a reason to declare peace? Would the Israelis be able to occupy the Bethlehem streets if they weren't back from the beginning by the U.S. held by the heat? Yo, can we speak? Did you peep our America, Bogart, Mecca? May the call for the Jihad complete. Let's get deep and make leaps.
And this reminder, you're listening to KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno. If you'd like to help pay for these broadcasts and also for the special teach-in on Iraq and against war coming up next on KPFA, produced by the Flashpoints team. Please give us a call right now at KPFA at 1-800-439-5732 or 848-5732 in the 510 area code, and give us what you can, no matter how small, no matter how large. It certainly will make a difference to KPFA as we are in our winter fund drive, and we do urge you to support and continue listening throughout the afternoon. The number again is 1-800-439-5732, 848-5732 in the 510 area code. We have people standing by who are willing to take your calls, and we would love for you to say no to war and yes to KPFA right now at 1-800-439-5732. Give what you can, whether it be $25 or $60 or $100. It all means very, very much to KPFA and all of us who want to support the concept of community radio, of listener-sponsored radio. Please give us a call. We have one or two open lines at 1-800-439-5732, 848-5732 in the 510 area code.
We need a free Palestine. You lost your mind. Can't you see denying self-determination is a deadly crime? And don't forget Puerto Rico, because it is mine. As the sun was born to shine, heavily on my soul, away from the cold, something you stole, like the black gold, for which you bombed Iraq. People armed with just the Quran and Islam intact. You said your war was for Saddam, but in fact, you blew up hospitals, schools, sewer treatment centers, and water supplies, making it possible every month for 5,000 children to die. So let it echo.
And if you're getting a busy signal at KPFA, please keep calling, or if the message is coming on, you can leave a message there, but please give us a call, 1-800-439-5732.
Listening to the welfare poets from the stage of the World Says No to War rally, and we are wrapping up right now. Anthony Arnov has just come behind the stage. He's the editor of the new book, Iraq Under Siege. Leslie Kagan was supposed to take the stage, but in the good tradition of live radio and live demonstrations, plans change just a bit. So she'll be concluding this rally just after this national broadcast. Anthony Arnov, we played Arundhati Roy in India today, and you have a statement that she wanted read to the crowd. Arundhati Roy, the great Indian writer, author of God of Small Things, as well as other books. Her latest is War Talk.
The U.S. government war to promote terrorism has launched a two-pronged assault on the world. One is a military assault on the Middle East that seeks to redraw the map of that region and establish U.S. hegemony over oil. The other is an assault on the intelligence of the human race.
And on that note, I want to thank you for being with us. Verna Avery Brown, Robert Knight, here at the protest. We want to thank all of the listeners around this country who made this broadcast possible, and our producers, Chris Abrams and Mike Burke, Angie Karen, Anna Noguera, Alex Wolf, Rich Kim, our engineer, and so many others from Free Speech TV, DC TV, as well as the whole public media collaboration with Indie Media.
I just want to remind our listeners on Pacifica, www.pacifica.org.
That's www.pacifica.org. For more information on these national broadcasts, as well as the programs Peace Watch and Democracy Now!, as well as the national teach-in that will be taking place on Pacifica with Flashpoints. I'm Amy Goodman with Verna Avery Brown and Robert Knight. Thanks for listening.
And again, this is KPFA or KPFB, Berkeley or KFCF Fresno. Coming up just momentarily in about 30 seconds, we do have that teach-in against the war produced by the Flashpoints team. Please stay tuned on these stations.